know about y'all, but I'm believing God to do phenomenal things in 2017. Are you with me? Amen. We should be very actively involved in what we are believing God for in our personal life and in the kingdom. Amen. Ask and you shall. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be open to you. Tonight, I want to talk to you about prayer. How many of you, just be totally honest tonight, say I'm frustrated in my prayer life? Lots of us. I think most of us go through that at some point or another. I imagine there's some people in here tonight that would say, I've given up. Some people have just flat out given up on their prayer life. It's become so frustrating. We see other people's prayers getting answered, but we wonder why ours aren't getting answered. And it's a difficult thing to go to. But here's what I want you to understand, that God wants to answer your prayers. Would you say that tonight? Say, God wants to answer my prayers. And I want to look at James chapter 5, verse 16 tonight. And Wednesday nights is really about empowerment. I'm going to begin with the New Living Version, and then we'll take a look at the Amplified. But the New Living one says it like this. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Your prayers are powerful, or they should be, and they ought to be producing wonderful results. We should be seeing results in our prayer life. If we're not, then there's something we're missing, because this is something God has promised in His Word, that your prayers can be powerful and they can produce results. I think it was Bon Jovi that sang Living on a Prayer. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. Am I right? Somebody call me out if I'm wrong on my hair bands. Don't act like you didn't listen to them just because you're sitting in church. Some of you still got that tape. You got Def Leppard hysteria in the car. But, you know, we will live and we'll die by our prayer life. Really, in a lot of ways, that determines the amount of victory we experience in our life and our walk with Christ. James 5:16 in the Amplified, and you should have this on your note sheet, says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. How many of you are born again tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, say, I'm a righteous person. Makes tremendous power available. Prayer makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. And so tonight I want to talk to you about how to increase your effectiveness in prayer. For some of you, you've prayed for years. For others of you, prayer is a completely new concept to you that you may know nothing about. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, because once I was taught these principles, I begin to see God move in my life, time after time, situation after situation, and I knew exactly what I could expect. I knew what I was going to receive. And once you start seeing results in your prayer life, you start getting excited. It's no longer like rush and roulette, and I'm just going to throw a prayer up, and I hope God hears this, and I hope it has results, and I'm kind of going through a formality instead of something that I understand is powerful and will produce kingdom change in my life. This is what seeing the kingdom of God in heaven come to earth is all about. It comes through the channel of prayer. Somebody say the channel of prayer. So praying effectively is a possibility. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have told us this in James 5:16. And I want you to see again that your prayers can produce results and your prayers are powerful. So I want you to say tonight, my prayers are powerful. Say, my prayers produce results. My prayers bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth in my life and in the life of those around me. Now, if you believe that, just give God praise that His word's true. Amen? But when we don't see results, we get frustrated and we quit, we give up. It's very difficult for us. We feel like we've been rejected. What's wrong with us? Everybody else around me seeing results in their prayer life. Why aren't I seeing results in my prayer life? Ever felt that way? Ever been through discouragement in your prayer life? Just I have. Just wave at me. So what we do is, in those moments, we don't give up. My pastor said it like this. You win some, you lose some get rained out. But when tomorrow comes, you get back up to the plate and you take another swing. You learn and you keep moving forward. And that's really critical.
And so it's not that prayer's broke, but we need to learn how to pray effectively. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. And we need to cry out to God, teach us to pray. Prayer is something we must be taught to do. It's something that we don't just innately or automatically know how to do. And before I get into the steps we're going to take to increase your effectiveness in prayer, this is going to be multiple parts, and I'm going to have you participate by taking some of this and putting it into practice immediately. But one of the things I want you to do is I want you to change your perception about who God is. It's very, very important. You got to change your perception about God. I cannot know God by my feelings. I cannot know God by what I've experienced in life. All I can know God by is what this book says. Let me try that again, because this is where everybody gets screwed up. It doesn't matter what you think about God. It doesn't matter what you feel like God thinks about you. It doesn't matter what you've been through in your life. It doesn't matter what Aunt Ethel's been through in her life. What matters is what this book says. I must base everything I believe on what this book says. We were talking recently about an individual had called in for some help, and we're available to do that and to talk. And I said, when was the last time they were here? Has anybody seen them in a while? And they said, no, we haven't seen them in a long time. And it's real funny to me, the people who come and connect got it going on pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you come and you position yourself to hear the word of God, God shows you the steps you can take to find breakthrough in your life and experience victory on a regular basis. That's why you couldn't pay me to skip church. Amen? And what I want you to do this year is I want you to make this book more of a priority in your life than you ever have before in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your problem is. If for the next 21 days you will saturate your life in this book, in 3 weeks' time, that problem will be broken in your life. I can guarantee you that. I'd have it on my phone. I'd have it playing in my car. I'd be reading it every day. It is milk for babes and it is meat for men. It is alive and it active and it stirs on the inside of you and it changes you from the inside out. It shows you steps you can take to walk in God's best today. It gives you a plan. It paints a picture in your heart. And without it, we fail and we flounder and we live lives completely beneath the standard and we're pathetic. That's just the reality of it. I hope that's not too hard for you tonight. But when we're not in the Word, we're pathetic and we don't have to be. Amen? So I want to challenge you when it comes to reading your Word to be in God's Word. Every single week in your bulletin insert, there's a section called Renewal Fuel. And we give you three chapters of your Bible a day you can read. One proverb. There's 31 proverbs a month. Most months have 31 days in them. So God's given you a proverb for every day of the month. Written by the wisest man to ever live, Solomon. He wrote the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the principal thing. You need God's wisdom for your life. Read a proverb a day. Then we give you one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think we added Acts to that every day. And then an epistle. Okay, and then every other month we'll rotate so that this year not only are you going to read Psalms or Proverbs, but you're going to read through the book of Psalms in this year. So you'll see that show up on February 1st instead of Proverbs. You can find it on your app. If you don't have time to read it, it'll read to you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You don't have to read it. You just got to hear it. Okay, very important to take time for God's Word in our life. So we have to change our perception about God, and we get that from His Word. And here's where we need our perception changed. God wants to answer our prayers. Hebrews 11:6 makes that abundantly clear. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I don't want you to ever feel like you're wasting your time when you go to prayer. Because the Bible says God rewards those who seek Him. There is a seeker's reward. How many of you want to be seekers? Because we want the reward of the Lord that comes from seeking Him. So not only does God want to answer your prayers, but God is ready. He's able, and most importantly, he's willing. That's what most people need to know. They know God is able. They know God might even be ready, but they don't know he'll do it for them. God is willing to answer your prayers when we know exactly how to pray according to God's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Do you see that? He will freely give us how many things? All things. He will freely give us how many things? All things. Did it say you have to work for them? Did it say you have to earn them? How's it going to come to us? He's going to give it to us. Now, let's look at the verse right before that, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, because it sets it up. It says, "What then shall we say to these things?" And here's the response to that question. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he goes to verse 32, and he says, "Who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Go back to verse 31. But he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? One of the ways we see that God is for us is through answered prayer. And so if we don't see answers to our prayer, we feel like, even though it's not true, we feel like God is against us. Make sense tonight? But we have the ability to see our prayers answered. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" He gives good things to those who ask him. He gives good things to those who what? Who what? Who what? Who ask him in prayer. We ask God for the things we need. So I'm going to give you some steps. Tonight we're just going to get into three of the steps you need to take to increase your effectiveness in your prayer life and begin seeing results. The first one is very simply this. When you pray, when you go to God, number one, you go to the Father in the name of the Son. This is critical. You go to the Father in the name of the Son. What's the name of the Son? Jesus. Jesus is the reason I have a relationship with God the Father. It was through his blood that he shed, and through his life he lived, and through his resurrection, when I believe in those things, that now I can enter into a relationship with my Father in heaven as his son or as his daughter for you or as his child, as an heir and a joint heir, that I can come into that relationship with him. So using the name of Jesus is very, very important because only Jesus shed his innocent blood so that we could have this relationship. It was bought for us. Just like in an adoption, there is an exchange of money much of the time. Think back of when the Bowens adopted Rebecca. It cost tens of thousands of dollars. Well, your soul cost God much, much more than that. It cost him the life and the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. And so there is a lot of gratitude whenever I come into the presence of God and I say, "Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus." It's not only a reminder of him, to him, of why I'm standing there and that I'm covered in the blood of his son and that I believe in his son and that I'm confessing his son as my Lord. But it's also a reminder of me of everything Jesus has done in my heart and in my life. How many of you are thankful tonight for Jesus? Okay. So we go to the Father in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "And whatever, and 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 some of the things, and most of it, and whatever." Right? I'm not reading the trick Bible. "And whatever you ask in my name." Well, who's doing the talking there? Jesus. "Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, that I will do." And there's a reason why he wants to answer your prayer. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." If you ask, what's that word? "Anything in my name, I might do it." I'll probably do it. If you catch me in the right mood, I'm going to do it. If I think you've been good enough the last week, I'll do it. I will do it. Somebody say, "He will do it." If you ask anything in my name, he will do it. So it's like a lock that's got a key on it. You've got to have the right key to access what's behind that door. The name of Jesus gives us access not only into the presence of God and the throne room of God, but it also gives us access into answered prayer, and that's where everything begins, with the name of Jesus Christ. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, is Jesus a liar?
No.
Okay. So can we take him at his word? No matter what you've experienced in your prayer life to this point, we talked about this Sunday morning about how to get over disappointment and how quick we come back and we're ready. Peter, his failure was fresh. He had fished all night. Here Jesus is standing there telling him, I want you to go back out and throw your nets out again. He was willing to turn around and go back out. And I said, how do we as Christians find a way to come to God's word with fresh faith and a new hope whenever we've prayed and prayed and we didn't see our prayers answered? Okay? And this is very, very important that we learn how to do this. So no matter what you've been through in your prayer life, no matter what you've experienced, I want you to take God at face value and believe his word for the first time, just like it's the first time tonight. I believe what God said. Forget about what you've been through. His word says it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. The end. Amen? John 16, verse 23. Let's look at that. It says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever. Somebody say whatever. Everybody do this. Put your thumbs together. You know, for a while there, it's been a little bit, but what did that mean? All the kids did it. Whatever. You know, it's kind of an attitude thing. You'd say something to them, they'd be like, whatever. Well, why don't you just throw up your W next time you're talking to God? You said whatever. Okay? And we're going to get into some qualifiers for that in a minute here. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he might give you. He might give you. Come on, somebody correct me. He will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you might receive. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy would be full. So number one, to increase our effectiveness, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Number two, ask in faith. Somebody say faith. Faith is very simply trusting God. Faith is taking God at his word. Again, if he said it, that's all I need to believe it. If it's written in this book, I believe it. Only those who believe this book will act on it and will experience what this book has to say. Amen? It's as we act on what we believe that we experience God and see his word come to life in our lives. Very important. So we ask in faith. Faith is trusting God. When you trust God, that's faith. Faith is taking God at his word. If he said something, I believe him. Somebody say, well, do you have faith in God? Well, it's like saying, do you have faith in Bob? Number one, I got to know, who is Bob? Number two, what did Bob say? Number three, does Bob have a track record of keeping his word? Well, let's apply those principles with God. Who is he to you? Do you know him? Amen? You have a relationship with him? You know what he said? Where do I find what he said? Does he have a habit of breaking his word? God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Let God be true, but every man a liar. Malachi chapter 3, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not given to change like we are. He's exalted his word above his name. It's very, very important that we know that in our life. So we go and we ask in faith. So if I ask in faith, what that means is I believe when I ask him that I'm going to receive what I ask for. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, have faith in God. Look at your neighbor tonight and tell him, have faith in God. It's a powerful statement. Actually, the literal translation is have the faith of God. Jesus told us to have faith like God. Well, what is God's faith like? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews that God's faith speaks things that be not as though they were. God stepped out on creation morning and he said, let there be, and there was. Amen? That's the kind of faith Jesus is talking about there. Verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, he didn't say, come whine to me about your mountains. He said, whoever says to their mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea,
and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24. He talks about prayer. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When are you supposed to believe? When you pray. When are you supposed to believe you received? When you pray. When are you supposed to believe you received the answer to your prayer? When it shows up? When you feel better? When the money shows up? When your kids come home? When are you supposed to believe you received? When, I'm glad the first two rows have it. How about in the back? When do you believe you received? Thank y'all for cheering me on, my amen corner. When are you supposed to believe you received? When you pray. Believe that you receive them, and you might get it. It's like buying the pick six. It's like getting a Powerball ticket, right? Is that what he said? And you might get them. If your number gets punched that day, the Father's answering your prayers, baby. Woo! Like rolling the dice in my prayer life. He said, you will have them. Now, if I believe God's word and I take it at face value, do you see how this infuses power and effectiveness into my prayer life? God cannot lie. He is looking for somebody who will find out what he said, bring it back to him with a heart full of faith, and ask him to do what he already said he would do. Isn't that funny? He makes us a promise, but most of the time we don't take enough initiative to go bring it back to him and say, hey, I read right there, you said it. Amen? He likes to be reminded of his word. The Bible tells us that. Faith has the power to move the largest mountains in your life. Anybody got a mountain in your life right now? Faith can move it. Faith can move it. Faith can move it. I love Calvin Bristol. He's done all the excavating on our site here. And let me tell you, faith is a much greater excavator than Calvin Bristol. Faith is a better excavator, Larry, than a D9 dozer. Faith removes mountains in our life. Amen? The time for believing God has answered your prayer is when you ask. That's faith. Let me say it again. The time for believing that God has answered your prayer is when you ask. If you don't believe he's going to do it, then don't bother asking. If you don't believe he's going to do it, then don't bother asking. Because Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And I want you to be able to see God move in your life this year, because it's going to encourage you. It's going to have tremendous results in your life and in your family's life. Faith is not something, this is very important. Faith is not something we use to manipulate God to give us what we want. Faith is a gift God has given us to accomplish what he wants. It can all be summed up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where Jesus teaches the disciples to pray. And he says, pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see God's will in heaven come to pass on earth. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there disease in heaven? Is there brokenness in heaven? Is there depression in heaven? Is there divorce in heaven? It's because there ain't no marriage. But anyway, that's a whole nother sermon for another day. Somebody said there's no marriage in heaven, but there is in hell. There you go. Whatever. You got it. Your will be done. That was where I was at. Is there divorce in heaven? No. Is there lack in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? No. So we're praying that his will in heaven come to pass on the earth. So you have the ability through prayer to live heaven on earth. Fair enough? We cannot rise above our level of faith. What we experience will be determined by the level of faith we do or don't possess. Now, God gives to every person
Don't feel left out. God gives to every person a measure of faith. He gives a starting faith. You used it to call on his name and get saved. And he's a more than enough God. He gives you more than enough to get you going. But it's a seed of faith. We must water that faith through reading God's word and hearing God's word can increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The first time you hear the word of God, it's planted. The times after that you hear God's word on a subject, it's watered. The first time you plant a seed, it doesn't sprout up right away, does it? You have to water it. You have to tend to it. Same with God's word in your life. You need to hear it over and over and over. Why? Because what we set in front of us the longest becomes the strongest. We must take time to focus on God's word. Very critical, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, ask and it might be given to you. I hope you're getting this tonight. Your Bible said, ask, and it will be given to you. Is that a promise? Yes. Seek, and you might find it. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than losing something and not being able to find it. I don't know about y'all, but that drives me nuts. I mean, I'll turn the house upside down until I find it. And if I can't find it, it's bugging me. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be open to you. There are doors in your life that can only be opened through prayer. Sometimes we think, well, why is this happening for them and not for me? Why does opportunity present itself to everybody else but not to me? Well, Jesus made it clear right there. Knock and it will be open to you. There are doors in your life that will only be opened through the power of prayer. For everyone, somebody say everyone. Okay, is there anybody in this room tonight that is left out of that everyone? Oh, that's good news, because that means all of your prayers get answered. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, we like to think we're pretty good parents, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who... Circle the word ask. It's critical. He knows what you need before you ask, but he still wants you to come because he wants to build a relationship with you. And when you ask and you see that he responds, it builds your trust. And when you trust God, that's faith. And faith has the power to move your mountain. Very, very important. God is ready, he's willing, and he wants to answer your prayer. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, somebody say anything, they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now, is there two or three of us here tonight? And did we come together in somebody's name or for somebody's name? Whose name is it? Leotis? Cletus? Buford. Well, if they think we're a cult, the cult of Buford. We come here in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen? So is he here? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Notice what he said in verse 19. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything, there's that whatever again that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 12, as this builds your faith. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Does anybody believe in Jesus tonight? Amen. Now, what am I reading from right now? God's word. I'm reading from the Bible. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Name some works that Jesus did. Heal the sick. Deliverance. Raise the dead. What else? Healed the blind. Did he meet needs? Did he encourage? Did he find people who are lost and show them the light, how to be found? Lead them out of sin into a life of righteousness. He fed them the truth. He was a mirror that we could look into and see what God had genuinely created us to be. Okay? So Jesus said, you're going to do those things also. But he didn't stop there. He said, the works that I do, you will do also if you believe in me. And greater works than these you will do because I go to my Father. So our job on earth is to continue the mission, the message, and the ministry that Jesus Christ began. He gave us a model and showed us how to live this life. He ascended to the Father after the resurrection, and his job at the Father's right hand is to intercede for you or pray for you or stand there on your behalf next to the Father and make sure that your requests happen because you've asked for things on earth that will bring glory to him in heaven. So when you pray, you're not praying alone. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I might do it. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now the key there is if my words abide in you. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, then we ask what we desire and it'll be done for us. And the reason for that is very simply because we don't ask for crazy things. We ask for his desires. His desires become our desires. We decrease and he increases. When I abide in him and his word abides in me, then I have the mind of Christ. We have one mind. We have one heart. We have one vision. We have one purpose. I become less like the old Josh and I become more like who God has created me to be as a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? I don't become Jesus, but I become like Jesus, okay? And so that's very important for us to understand as we go about our everyday life. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So I want to ask you the question tonight, are you abiding in Christ? Do you have a living relationship with him that is up to date? And are his words abiding in you? Does his word live in you? Not do you know his word, but are you living his word? Are you living your decision to follow Christ? Are you living what you're learning every single week? Whether it's in your personal time reading his word or on Sundays when you're hearing it preached or tonight, are you allowing his word to live on the inside of you? Let's look at John 16, 23. He says again, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Let's look at 1 John 3, 22. He says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And he goes on and he says in the next verse, verse 24, until now you have asked, verse 23, and this is his commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the commandment he's talking about, obeying to receive results. It's believing in Jesus. Well, how many of you do that? Okay. Wow, praise God. About 15%. How many of you believe in Jesus? Oh, look at that. Amazing. God works miraculously. That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. How many of you love everybody? Love the person sitting beside you? Not in a weird way. Don't look at me funny. But we love them, right? Jesus said, you'll be known by this. The distinguishing marker of my people will be by their love for each other. And that's the commandment that he gave us. And that helps in increasing our effectiveness in our prayer life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 declares, now to him who is able, somebody say he's able, to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above, that's more than, all that you ask or that you even think. Now think about that. That's a tack on. Whenever, that's a bonus. Whenever I pray prayers, sometimes I'll ask it to the Father in the name of Jesus, and I'll say, Father, I ask for Ephesians 3:20 on that. I ask that on top of that, you just whatever you imagine for me on top of that, go on and put it on top. And I just claim that as my promise right there, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I asked or thought. I did my part. I've asked. I've thought about it. But your imagination's a whole lot bigger than mine, so God, just go on and top it for your glory. Amen? Okay, so it's very, very critical
that we take time to understand that. God is looking for somebody who is fully persuaded that the same one who wrote this book and who made these promises is not a mock God. He is more than just a placeholder until you meet him in heaven. He is a God who is willing and able and ready to do the same things you read him do in the pages of this book. He has not changed. The difference is he's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebodies who are willing to take him at his word and grab a hold of a promise, Jen, and hang on to it until they see it come to pass in their life. That's walking by faith, not by sight, not by what I see, not by what I feel, not by what I experience. I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by what the word says. Amen? Okay, so number one, ask the Father in the name of his Son. What's that name?
Jesus.
Number two, we ask and we do it in faith. In other words, we believe that he's going to do it when we ask for it. And if we don't believe he's going to do it, we're not going to ask for it. And the third part is critical, okay? The third part is that we ask not only in his name, not only in faith, but we ask according to his will. Somebody say his will. Okay, we ask according to the will of God. Now, where can I find the will of God? The word of God. Where can I find the will of God? In the word of God. Where can I find the will of God? The word of God. Now, God has a plan for your life. It's his will. In other words, his desire for you. He's created you with a purpose. Amen? He has a plan for your life. Y'all believe that tonight? We've got to identify that plan. Where can I find his plan or his will for my life? The word of God is the will of God. And the will of God is the word of God. Those two never are separated. Faith begins where the will of God is known. As you begin to read God's word, something begins to rise up on the inside of you. I was talking to somebody Sunday, some friends that have been coming for a short amount of time, and they said, man, we were raised completely different, but we feel something when we come in here. Something stirs on the inside of us. Something makes our hearts leap. Something is coming alive on the inside of us. Well, what is that? It's very simply that we preach God's word. And when we do that, faith begins to stir and rise up on the inside of us, Travis, and we begin to reach out for things that we used to think were impossible. And now all of a sudden, the impossible looks more and more and more like a reality. Where can I find the will of God? In his word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know, somebody say no. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, there it is again, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. This is the key. This is the key to all the whatevers. Whatever I ask, I must ask in line with his will. Whatever I ask, if I want to see a result, I must ask in line with the word. If I can't find it in his word, I don't ask for it, or at least I don't expect any results on it. The only guarantee I have is what comes from his word. Is salvation a promise? Is power in the Holy Spirit a promise? Is grace a promise? Is joy a promise? Is new mercy every morning a promise? Is peace that passes all understanding a promise? Is abundant provision a promise? Is righteousness attainable and a promise? Is justification a possibility in your life that God can look at you who was once a sinner, no matter how bad you might have been or how bad you don't think you were, and look at you now as somebody not just who is a forgiven sinner, but just like you never even sinned? Is that a possibility and a promise through God's word? Okay, we look for things. Is your name being written in heaven a promise? Is life after death a promise? Is a resurrection a promise? Is victory over Satan a promise? Is your seed following in your footsteps as you walk to Jesus Christ a promise? is leading your house to God, a promise. Amen? So these are all things that come from God's word that we can claim as promises in our life. They are His will for us. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if, Brian, I know, did y'all go to that Cowboys game? I can't believe they lost. Anyway, why would you throw away 14 wins? Anyway, if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the things that we've asked of Him. You can have confidence, the Bible says, in your prayer life. You can have confidence in your prayer life. We are so insecure in our prayers. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, that's got to change. Not tomorrow, not 3 months from now. It's got to change tonight. This is the confidence, He's saying. Here it is, y'all. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. Thank God that He's not deaf. And we know when He hears us that we have the things we've asked from Him. You can come before Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, without fear and full of boldness in your heart. You can come to Him and stop crawling before Him and writhing and rolling around in your own unworthiness. He knows you're unworthy. That's why He came. Let's get over that part. It's why He washed you in His blood. That's why He gave you a new heart. It's why He made you a new creation. You don't need to tell Him anymore, I'm not worthy of you. I can't do this without you. Why do we say things like that? He says, you don't have to do it without me. That's why I'm coming to you. Amen? We can have confidence before God. We can have boldness in prayer that comes from knowing His will. We can have boldness in prayer that comes from knowing His heart. We can have boldness in prayer that comes from knowing the desires of God. The Word of God is the will of God. And the more you get into His Word, the more you know His will. And the more I know His will, the greater confidence I have when I ask. So here's what that means, y'all. It means I start using what I know today. What promises from God's Word do you know today? Start using them. Start using them. We got a book out there in the bookstore called God's Promises for Your Need. And it's a book by topic of God's promises. Get one of them. Keep it beside your nightstand. Use what you already know. And here's what happens. The more I know His word, the more I know what He wants. And the more I know, Kathy, what He wants, the more I begin to ask things that line up with His desire. And I see the results come to pass in my life. Because the Bible says the promises of God are already yes and in Him, amen. He has already said yes to the promises. You're just bringing back to Him the thing that He's already said you could have. The promises of God give me a place to focus my faith like a laser beam. And the greater focus I have, the greater concentration of my faith on a single point, it will release and produce the greatest results in my life. Pick one thing you need to see God move in your life. Find a promise for it and begin to believe Him every single day for that. And here's what you do. You ask Him. You go to Him and you ask Him. Mark 11:24. And when you ask Him, you believe you received when you asked for it. And then you begin to thank Him after that. You're shifting positions. You're posturing yourself differently. You're no longer a beggar. You're a believer. You're not asking and asking and asking. You asked in faith and you begin to thank Him that He's already moving in that situation. You begin to thank Him that it's already done. You begin to thank Him that He's working in that in your life. You begin to thank Him that it's already accomplished. You begin to thank Him every single day. And let me tell you, faith rises and rises and rises in your heart like Abraham. God gave him a promise. I'm going to give you a son with your wife, Sarah. For 25 years they waited and he continued growing strong day by day in faith by giving God glory, by saying, Father, I thank you for your promise. I thank you that you told me I'm going to have a son. I thank you, Father, today that my body's able, no matter how old my age tells me I am. I thank you, God, that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could even ask or think. And all of a sudden, there's an explosion one day when what God has already released into the spirit realm shows up in your life. How many of you have a need in your life?
Is anybody willing to share what your need is? Just tell me. Say it again. Say it again. Harmony with God. Somebody else. You want to know the truth, okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know purpose? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So I go, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now, and I desire to know my purpose in life and your purpose for me. And I ask, according to Jeremiah 29:11, that you begin revealing it to me. And I thank you that from this day forward, piece by piece, you're going to begin showing it to me. Manifestation of healing from what? From cancer. So I say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you right now. And your word says in 1 Peter 2:20, that by your stripes I am healed. Your word says in Isaiah 53 that by your stripes I am healed. And Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ to heal my body from this sickness. I believe according to your word that sickness is not your will for my life. I see Jesus everywhere you went in your word, you healed people from sickness. So I don't see anybody that you turned away and said, it's not my Father's will for you to be healed right now. So right now in the name of Jesus, I ask in faith, because Jesus, I didn't say it. You said whatever I ask, I'd receive. When I seek, I'd find. Whenever I knock, it'd be open. So I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and my Savior, to heal my body from cancer. You said whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I bind cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose the healing power of God and the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in my body, that according to Romans chapter 8 verse 17 declares that your resurrection spirit that was in Jesus Christ 3 days after he died on the cross and knocked the end out of a borrowed tomb will release resurrection life into my mortal body, quickening it back to life in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now that it's done. Father, I apply the blood of Jesus over my life. I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I declare 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I declare Luke 10:19 that nothing shall by any means hurt me. I have all authority and power over the enemy in Jesus' name. I take authority over this thing. Jesus, you said in your word, I didn't make it up, in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You said those who followed you and those who believed in you, those signs would follow them. I'm a believer in you. So God, in the name of Jesus, I lay hands on my own body and I command that thing to get out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm God's property. I'm healthy. I'm whole. Not because I feel it, but because the word of God said it, in the name of Jesus. I don't just ask it, but I thank you that it's done, and I'm going to walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you see how you use God's word? Somebody else, give me another one. Addiction. Father, in the name of Jesus, Paul, remember that night? About 8 years ago, 40 years. Alcoholic, addict, broken. 17 years ago in my life, alcoholic, addict for a decade, broken in one night, never went back to it. So I say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you and I want to be free. And your word says in John chapter 8, somebody help me, verse 31, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus, you said whoever calls on your name shall be saved, not just from sin, but from every attack of Satan in my life. Jesus, you said in John 10:10, that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. And God, I've never seen it and I'm not experiencing it. I'm tired of this addiction, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I surrender to you tonight. I declare that you're Lord of my life, and I bind and I break and I rebuke this addiction. And Satan, you have no place in my life anymore. I'm a child of God and I will live free because he has set me free. Nothing shall have any power over me to control
control me except the power of your Holy Spirit. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that there is no room for any evil spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it now, and I thank you that I'm done. I bind and I take authority over every temptation and over every evil desire. Name whatever that thing you're struggling with is, and say, in the name of Jesus, I am free from you today. In Jesus' name, you got to leave my life. And I guarantee, God guarantees that he will show up in your situation. Give me another one. Say it again. How many of you are facing discouragement? You feel weak in a struggle right now. The Bible says, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, where God told the Apostle Paul, Paul asked God three times. He was wrestling with a situation. And he said, God, take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away. And let me tell you, when God doesn't take something away from you, he'll give you a word. And that word will give you the power you need to understand what's going on and the power to make it. See, he takes some people out of things and he empowers other people to go through it. He gets the glory no matter what. Amen? That's where you can't get discouraged. Just because your neighbor got taken out of it, don't be upset because you got to walk through it. And so here's what I would pray. I'd say, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says, somebody look that up for me. My grace is sufficient for you. Your word says, so I can give her the address. Somebody look it up for me. My grace is sufficient for you. You said, in my weakness, your power is made perfect. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your grace. Your grace is my life fuel. And so Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask for your grace that is greater than my weakness. And I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would help me to walk through this situation, through this struggle, and through this hardship with your grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9 is your promise. With your grace. I ask that you'd help me to walk through this with your grace. There's another one, I think it's in Numbers, that says, as your day, so shall your strength be. As your day, so shall your strength be. In other words, whatever's gonna come up in your day, you don't know what that is, but God does. He knows what you're gonna face in a day, and he promises to give you strength to match the demands of your day. Does that sound good to y'all? See, these are promises that you can claim. I want to encourage you, dive into God's word. Dive into God's word. There is victory when you do life in the word of God. Is this helping anybody tonight? Amen. Stand with me tonight, would you? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is truth. I thank you that your truth brings freedom into our lives. Father, my prayer tonight in the name of Jesus is that the truth of your word would permeate our lives in such a way that we begin to see you as you really are. And as we have a revelation of who you are and we begin to see your power displayed in our life, as we begin to call on you, I pray for every single person, God, for a powerful and effective prayer life to be releasing to each and every one of them tonight, practicing the principles they've been given. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that that prayer life and that prayer ministry would extend beyond their needs, and as they begin to grow in seeing needs met, that it would begin to extend to those around them. I pray for a boldness that goes with it and a discernment in the name of Jesus that when they're in public and they understand and they know these principles and they hear a need come up, whether it's at work or wherever they might be, that they take time to ask that person, can I pray with you about that situation? And that they ask in Jesus' name and they ask in faith and they ask according to your will. And that, Father, in the name of Jesus, you would show up in that person's life and in that situation and reveal themselves to you. Father, we are not satisfied this year with just information, with just gathering around, with just having a book study. Father, we want to see a manifestation of your power greater than we ever have in the history of Victory Church. I pray, Father, for a manifestation of the truth of your word that sets us apart. I ask in the name of Jesus, that it would be something that nobody could take credit for but you. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, just like when Jesus sent out the 70 and they went out and they saw what you told them they could do come to pass in their life, they were excited, they were filled with joy. I pray that this congregation would buzz with that kind of joy, that kind of energy, that kind of excitement, because as we come in together every Wednesday and every Sunday, it would be nothing more than a time of sharing with each other the incredible things we witnessed and watched you do. I'm talking about suddenly answers to prayer, God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking for supernatural breakthroughs. I'm asking for healings. I'm asking for bondages to be broken. I'm asking for deliverances. I'm asking for miracles, God. Do things that only you can get the glory for. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory right now. Move that mountain in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe we just got what I prayed for. How many of you are with me tonight? Come on, praise him on credit. Hallelujah. I love you. God bless you. I can't wait to see you Sunday. Pray with somebody this week.